right. So on today on the podcast, I had Jason Coons, who's the principal at Elbert County High School in Elberton, Georgia. You are going to love this podcast if you like education. We talked at length about education, educational philosophy, how you educate during COVID. And I know you really enjoy his wisdom on this podcast. All right, Jason Coons, welcome to the podcast.
I appreciate you having me. It's a pleasure to be here this evening.
Yeah, buddy. You know, I think I find most of my guests on Twitter. That's kind of the thing. You know, some people use Facebook, I guess. That's not my cup of tea, but you're pretty active on Twitter. What makes you like Twitter? I mean, is there something that sticks out to you a little bit?
I do. I think it's a mix of both professional and also just some personal things, but it's great to be able to network. And as a high school administrator, it's exactly what I tell my kids all the time is, you know, very rarely is it what you know, but it is who you know, and making those connections and that connectivity for networking is so essential. And I think that's why Twitter's such a growing, you know, fascination for people is it lets you reach out and do things like this all the time with, you know, with people that you would have no interaction with otherwise. So it keeps it, you know, serious, but also allows you to have that freedom and that autonomy to be able to speak. So love the Twitter, quick and easy.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think Facebook's too personal. That's one of my things.
I do too.
Just don't like it. No, and people complain too much on Facebook.
That's exactly right. That is exactly right.
Oh, man. So the listeners can't see you, but I see on your Twitter profile, you're a Clemson fanatic. Did you go to school there, or what's the deal with that?
I did some grad school at Clemson, and just started from way back when. My dad has always been in ministry, and he had a kid at Clemson that was a kicker 1 year, and had us come to a game. And once we got into the Valley, it was all that it took. And so I just bleed orange, and I love my Tigers. And you know, we spent many a year sitting in an empty stadium, and now that Clemson's found some success over the last decade or so, we're really proud fans now. But I love my Tigers.
That's awesome, Jason. Jason, give the listeners and myself a little bit of background about yourself, kind of who you are, where you come from, and then we'll go from there.
Absolutely. Just had an idea growing up that being in service of others was something that was really driving me. And, you know, and what I thought was the easiest way to do that was through ministry. But then I realized my ministry was to be in the public school system. And really work through going through that process. So I was an elementary school teacher, and then had the opportunity, and all of this is in Georgia, but had the opportunity also to be a middle school assistant principal and principal, been a high school principal, which I am currently, and also served for 2 years as a district school superintendent here in Georgia. So seen the whole gamut, and, you know, have participated in athletics my entire life. My boys participated, my daughter participates in athletics. Soccer and my boys both played football, and so it's just the public school system, I believe, in education just builds the citizens that we absolutely need, you know, to really make a difference. And so I'm all about the benefit of both the academic and the athletic part of being in the public school system.
No doubt. I've taught in public, taught in private, and I just think public schools where, like you said, you're building citizens. It's free, so anybody can come, and you're trying
That's
to
right.
build young men and young women to be the best that they can be. Talk a little bit about, you know, Elbert County High School. Like, what is the makeup of your school? You know, what's your philosophy of education there? Those types of things.
Absolutely. We're a small AA school in Georgia. We're in rural northeast Georgia. About 45 minutes outside of Athens, 45 minutes outside of Clemson. So we're right on the South Carolina line, 850 students. We are the granite capital of the world, but that's a little misleading because what we actually are is the granite monument capital of the world. We do send out the most monuments for anyone. And if you've ever heard of the Guidestones, it's our own little Georgia version of Stonehenge. We have the Guidestones here in Elbert County too. So, you know, the school has really gone through a change. We are a huge granite industry. And of course, starting back in 2008, 2009, when the economy took a hit, the school was somewhere around 1,600, 1,700. And, you know, now we've reduced because of the loss of job market, all the way down to about 850. And that's where we've been for about the last 5 or 6 years. So really love the community. They're very involved. It is truly Friday Night Lights. You know, when the lights come on Friday, everybody stops what they're doing and we come out to the Granite Bowl. It's an amazing opportunity. And so love this community and the difference we're making for our kids.
That's awesome. So you as the principal, I know like at Nitro High School, our motto is love, learn, lead. What's your like motto there at Elbert County High School? What are the things you want your kids to know when they walk in the door?
Absolutely. What's what they hear every day. When I get on the announcements every single morning, I tell them we're nurturing, educating, and graduating tomorrow's leaders. And the last thing they hear from me before I put the phone down is that in the event no one has told them today, we love them. And, you know, we're proud of this Blue Devil Nation that they're a part of. So that we're all inclusive. And like you said at the very beginning, you know, public means we open the door. And when we do that, we get the best that the parents want to send us. And we take that and we provide them with the best opportunity we can to maximize their potential. So, you know, really my personal philosophy is that it's learning first, but people always, you know, you've got to be someone that is willing to accept the fact that we are not a business. You know, we don't deal in gadgets or widgets. We deal in differences and differentiation, and we're going to make the best we can for the kids that we have. But once we do that, the learning will take place once we realize they are individuals.
One of the biggest differences that people don't understand is that public education is not a business. It's a relationship game trying to help young men and young women. Do you have any like special programs y'all do there you want to talk about? Like how you try to help the kids that are maybe struggling, kids that are behind when they come in the door, those
absolutely
types of things.
Well, and as everybody could probably start off with every sentence now, you know, pre-COVID. But as we look, we are a Title I campus and community. We probably have 72% of our entire community is free and reduced lunch. Really a struggling group. And we know that when our kids are on campus, that's when we have that lock time for them. And so what we really focused on was trying to do any kind of remediation or recovery during academic time. And we built flex period at the end of the day where every teacher gets a group of students that they do not teach. And they're allowed then to kind of go through the ABCs with them, the attendance behavior and courses that they have and the credit they've secured to really build those relationships so they have one more voice. You know, one of the funny things about Twitter that we have, and even when I did have Facebook, was that all of my students had direct access to them, and many of them have my actual cell phone number because of the fact that we're not just their administrators in a small town like this. You know, they will see us everywhere at Dunkin' Donuts getting coffee, in Ingles, and, you know, going into Burger King. And so we've got to make sure that we are taking care of the entire child. And that's really kind of been our focus with our teachers, is that we're building programs that develop the entire child rather than just the academics. Socio-emotional is too big right now with COVID, you know, and so we've got to focus on how we're going to take care of these kids so that when they come out of it, not only are they academically strong, but they're emotionally strong as well.
Man, Jason, that sounds a lot like Kanawha County Schools. All of our kids are on free lunch. West Virginia is very poor. You look up any stat, we're last and like everything.
Right. Absolutely.
But man, that's awesome. I think doing what you can during the school day is key. Like you're trying to help them when they're there. Cause a lot of times like it's their safe place. That's where they feel safe being. And you know, talk about like when you have kids that are struggling in COVID, what are some things y'all have done to try to still help them? Cause this is just, it's a unique time in our history for sure.
It sure is. You know, really what we have, really stretched ourselves to do is ask our teachers not to take on additional responsibility or burden, because God knows they can't. They are giving of themselves already 24/7, but really to reimagine what education looks like. And for the first time, you know, the state of Georgia really took a look at what we're going to do in terms of assessment. And so we have really, for lack of a better term, de-emphasized assessment. You know, we are really saying, we have very limited time with you right now. What we're going to throw at you is a prioritized curriculum. We're going to do it in new and inventive and creative ways. We're doing both. We're doing a real hybrid model. We are doing both virtual learning and in-person learning. In fact, based on COVID numbers, we had been in school doing the hybrid model since the beginning of school. And then after about, well, we just got through our, we're at 13 and a half weeks now. We just had to take this last week and a half off because the numbers were so high, we had to go straight virtual. In doing that, we've assigned every student an advocate, you know, to say, hey, we're just going to check. You're doing great. You're doing your online work. That's fantastic. If you need us, we are here. We've also done a lot with our student support team through our school social worker and looking through our counselors to say, you know, we're also available for you to talk to us if you need to after school hours. And so it's just been a big transition where the kids are seeing for the first time, unfortunately, for the first time in many instances, we're beyond the four walls of the classroom. You know, we're here to take care of you as a person because the academics will come and go and those types of things. But we've got to make sure that these people are taken care of because they're going to be taking care of us at some point. So, you know, it's in our own best interest.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, when we're going through this, I mean, it's like you have to make it up on the fly. And I guess make it up is probably a poor term, but you're having to adjust on the fly. So how does your mind go like on a daily basis? How are you trying to think about, okay, what do I do next to try to help our kids?
Right. And I don't know if make it up is not a bad term, you know, because we do, you know, as a head football coach and certainly as we go into administration, our day is not ever the same. You know, we might have a great laid out plan and we know what we're going to do and we've got times down and those types of things. But really that is a perfect opportunity. COVID has just made it that much more difficult because we don't know what we're going to be doing. We just had our graduation rate come out for this last year. And over the 5-year period, we've gone from 72% to 93%.
Oh, wow.
And so we had someone come in from the news and was kind of talking to us about the things we've really looked at and what we've really done. And he asked me, what is the majority of my day spent on? Pre-COVID, I would have told you curriculum and instruction. Those days are gone. Now it's contact tracing. Now it is spreading news about, you know, ins and outs, how to handle virtual learning. So my entire paradigm has shifted. Not for good or bad, but it's just shifted. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, now we really take a look at the opportunity to work with these kids from just a different lens. But it is just never the same, you know, and we went eight weeks. We only had two students that had experienced COVID. We were thrilled knocking on any piece of wood we can find. Probably after the last 5 weeks, we've had 13 students with actually that have gotten COVID. And so, you know, it's just that hit or miss. You don't know what the next day is going to expect. And yeah, I guess it keeps us all fresh and keeps us all moving and keeps those juices flowing. But definitely not necessarily what you signed up for when you signed up.
Oh, yeah. I mean, as teachers, you sign up to lesson plan, and coaches, you sign up to coach.
Right.
Administrators, you sign up to evaluate and help your school go forward. And now it's
right.
What in the world? Man. So like that, we'll backtrack to what you just talked about. Like as a principal, you said, okay, pre-COVID, you know, so one day this is going to end. Thank the Lord.
Yes.
You know, when you talk about curriculum and instruction, what are you looking for from your teachers as a principal? Like what are some things you're looking for as like best practices for education?
Sure. And I think the biggest thing that we've engaged in as a faculty was really an understanding of the standards and the strands that were required. We went back and curriculum mapped everything that we had done. And Georgia was slow to turn around in some of them. Math and obviously, as you can imagine, math and English language arts were huge. And so the state jumped on those. But science and social studies were kind of left behind. And then you take a look at EL population, which is big for us. You know, we had those students who were having to be pulled for EL services, so they were missing even what little scheduled science and social studies time there was. We had to get out of that mindset and really start thinking about things contextually and how every curriculum is interwoven. And so when we talk about literacy development, we're talking about that across the board in each one of the contents. And so the big focus for us when we're looking at teachers is really the ability to sit down, discuss the curriculum, pull out those priority standards, and then decide what of this is essential for us. Get away from the idea of just grading to grade. If we're going to assign something for a grade, it better be one of those priority standards. Otherwise, we're wasting our time on it. Let's just cover it, make sure we have an understanding, but move to the big ideas so that then those can filter down and matriculate into better learning for us. So that's kind of what we've asked our teachers to do, especially during this time when we've gone to virtual. It's been a wonderful time for our teachers to sit down and collaborate and talk and listen to one another about this is the direction I think we need to go. Not focus on meeting test standards like 20% of the test comes from this, 30% of the test. No, what we need to do is prioritize those standards, figure out what we're going to do, and then mesh that contextually into everything that our students are being asked to do.
So would you say you're like you're a standards-based grading school, or are y'all that far into it?
No. No, now our elementaries are. Our elementaries here are doing that. Now, if I could figure out a way to get around a College Board and to get around all of those types of things for VAL and SAL and really look at standards-based report cards for high school, I'd do it in a heartbeat. I'd give them all, salutatorian, valedictorian, if I could figure out a way to do that. But so much of our educational process, as you know from time in Elka, in Georgia is tied directly to the placement of those assessments. And, that's a sad fact, but it is what the hires have post-secondary have decided. So it's kind of what we deal with.
Yeah. And that's something that, at Nitro, we still give A, B, C, D, F, but we do a lot of teachers are doing like standards based and then moving it over to A, B, C, D, F.
Right.
But it's pretty difficult to do sometimes. I feel like for some teachers that aren't used to teaching, hey, you're teaching a standard. It's not this, I'm giving them an assignment. Like, how do you help your teachers understand that I'm looking for learning, not just for, hey, they completed it.
Right. DOK is huge. If we can figure out what the depth of knowledge is for each one of the standards that we are asking. And that's really kind of what we have done is redeveloped. Also, when we're doing our curriculum mapping is redoing those assessments to say, we need to get away from DOK one questions and really start to ask them some things that are going to take them to synthesize and analyze and really do that transference of learning. And that's a difficult concept because we as educators didn't go through that as kids. We were given an A, B, C, D, and F, and that's what we got. And so now asking people to think differently and turn that is not an easy, it's like turning the Titanic in the Panama Canal. It doesn't work real easy. Mm-hmm. And so it's a work in progress. And parents, I think that's the hardest thing. I think we could do it as an educational system, but parents and media, they don't understand it. They understand A, B, C, D, F, so it makes it really difficult. Now, our elementary has done a great job with it. Parents are very receptive to it. But boy, if I could do it as a high school, and I'd love to hear how you guys at Nitro are doing it, because it would be wonderful for us to figure out a concept to make that transition over.
Oh, I'll definitely connect you and my principal.
Awesome.
Our principal is awesome with that stuff.
Great.
He gave like a 5-year plan a couple years ago and talking about we're going to go standards based. And I think it's great. You're trying to find out what kids know and then evaluate that. When you talk about assessment, awesome. What ways do you like seeing kids assess? Because I know, obviously they have to be good at bubble tests to get into college. Sure. But what are some ways you like to see?
I love projects. I love portfolios. I love the CTA programs that we have, because watching a student develop, design, create, build a picnic table to me is as assessment driven as you can get. And so, we ask all of our teachers to do that. It is to really and focus in, even if you are going to do a bubble test, on making sure that there is a written component so that they have to be able to speak to their understanding and explanation of. Assessment has got to get away from, which again, we go back to College Board, SAT, ACT, those types of things. you've got to get away from a simple bubble answer. Life is not a bubble answer. And, you know, I need people that can get under a car and change my oil for me as quick as I do somebody that's going to go to Georgia Tech and create some formula or cure here. But assessment to me is more important in the formative sense than ever in a summative sense. And so benchmarking, I think, is an absolute as you go through the process. I can tell you as teachers in my building, I want to be able to ask you about a child on a Tuesday, not necessarily at the end of the semester when we're given the EOC. You know, and if you can do that, then you have been formatively assessing throughout the process. And that's far more important to me as an administrator than it would be, you know, necessarily to answer a bubble test.
Right. I mean, and it's kind of it's a balance, I would imagine, because I would imagine funding comes somewhat from testing, and man, that's a tough balance for an administrator.
It's really hard. And right now, you know, in Georgia, we do the CCRPI, College and Career Readiness Performance Index, and we are rated A, B, C, D, go figure. Of course, throughout the state based on our graduation rate, based on our EOC performance, based on our attendance rate, based on, I don't know how you do those things when those things that are being assessed and rated on us are out of our control. You know, and that's one of the big things we preach to our faculty and staff and our students: control what you can control. And those other things will take care of themselves. Now, unfortunately, many times they don't. And you'll get a CCRPI score that is not favorable based on attendance. But when you're dealing with 16, 17, 18-year-olds who are not required by law to come to school, sometimes it makes it difficult. Yeah. So that is the struggle that we have, I would say, administratively, is dealing with the things out of our control that we are held accountable for. And that's very, very difficult. Very much like, you know, coaching. You give a game plan, you work on it all week, but then you put 15, 16, 17-year-olds on a field and ask them to produce. You know?
Yeah.
the thought is really good, but it's whether or not they can pull it off and think through that same process.
Oh, no doubt. I had a coach tell me years ago that all high school coaches are at the mercy of their roster. We take them to the building and here we go. And then if you have injuries, it's, oh gosh, look out, you know.
That's it.
Yeah, 100%. Look out. Shoot, Jason, I appreciate you coming on. As we land this plane, talk about some advice you give to somebody looking to get into administration. Like, what are some steps they can take and what's a mindset they should have as they pursue that career?
And that is such a loaded question, dependent on the type of leadership that whoever you talk to epitomizes or believes in. You know, I am just one. This is my 26th year in education. I've done administration for 19 of the 26. And so I'm at a point in my thought process where it is only about the benefit of the teachers and the students for the community at large. The rest of the things are not priority. And so for me, it's always being true to self, I think you can really take care of administration through four C's. I always have. I think you need to be compassionate. I think you've got to be consistent. I think it comes directly through communication. I think foremost and really what you have to do is be able to set aside some time to really reflect and conceptualize what you have done administratively for your faculty and your students. If you communicate and it is clear and consistent, one of the things I think I figured out very quickly in administration is being indecisive is a death sentence. Because as soon as you cannot, if you discriminate, then discriminate equally, then no one can ever say that you are discriminating, because someone will. And so I think consistency is the key. And maintaining it, but also open communication. So be true to yourself, be true to your children, You know, be true to your faculty and staff, because when it's all said and done, that is the trench. That is where the warfare takes place. And, you know, through unity, I think you can do it very easily. The rest is just subsidiary, and we make it happen as it happens.
Man, that is awesome. Jason, I appreciate you coming on. I appreciate you sharing your wisdom. And man, this is something I'm going to listen to after I put it up, because this is wisdom filled. Thank you very much for coming on.
Absolutely. I appreciate it. And apologize for the congestion. I think much of what I said may have been driven tonight by antibiotics from the sinus infection, but you know what, I'll give it. We are battling, and I tell you, we want everybody to stay safe, stay healthy. The key here is that there is going to be a backside. You know, we're going to see this, and I think it's all about perspective. And right now, we've just got to support and empower one another to get through this, because that day will come, and we will be back with our students again, and we'll be back in normal school, and we will be back on normal sports schedules. And when that happens, we've got to be ready. So I appreciate the work you're doing, and I appreciate the opportunity I've had to speak with you tonight.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it. And, man, you have a blessed evening. Feel better, please.
Thank you, boss. Take care of yourself, and we'll talk to you later.